Our scripture today comes from Genesis 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, titled The Call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. Last week we talked about some different things about preparation and being prepared for the Lenten season as we were in the first week of Lent, and now we're here in the second week of Lent, and I want us to think about that preparation in a different kind of a way, in a way that maybe thinks about that spring cleaning and why we do it, what motivates us when it's time for spring cleaning, and not just to rid our homes of clutter, but also to allow for new things to be brought in, right, and put in. So I'm going to start today's message with that kind of that thought and that motivation, because what brought me here today some 19 years ago is when that path started. And it was like this, much like a day like today, the weather was probably very similar. It was May 1st, almost 19 years ago today. It was May 1st, 2001. And I went to work that day, and I was running a little bit late. I had to ride public transportation. I know, woe is me. I had to ride the bus. But that's where we lived in North Dallas, and Kim and I shared one vehicle at the time. And we had a little bit of humble beginnings, I guess. And, you know, I really kind of needed that job. But I get there, and to my surprise, being a little bit late, I met by one of the directors or heads of the departments, and he says, "Hey, you're supposed to be down in the basement at the town hall." And I said, "Yeah, I know, I'm running a little late. Sorry about that." And he says, "That's okay. I'll take you down there." And I was like, "Well, that couple of red flags. One is he's there waiting for me to show up, and two, he's going to escort me down to a meeting room I've been to probably 10, 20 times over the course of my 4 years at that office building." Anyway, I didn't think anything of it. I put my bag down, and I head out there and go to the elevator banks again, and he pushes the down, calls the elevator. We get in. He pushes floor 20, and I'm like, "Well, that seems weird." I go, "I thought we were going to the basement." He goes, "Oh, they said to just take you to the to 20. You can start there." And I was like, "Okay, start what?" The door's open, and there's HR waiting for me to let me know that that was my final day with the company. And it was a nice little way to start your day, about 8:30 now a.m., and you get a package as you step off an elevator saying, "Thank you for your service, it's no longer needed." I had to wait in line, and I had to turn in my badge. I had to sign some papers that say, you know, I accept the severance offer, and I will be getting unemployment and all those wonderful things that go with being unemployed. And so that's what it was, and that's how my day started. And I remember distinctly remembering two things. When I was sitting there in the line of people who were waiting to kind of finalize your paperwork and then be escorted to your desk to pick up your personal belongings and then be escorted out of the building, I remember seeing the faces of the other people and some of those people that worked for me or with me and the shock on their face that must have been the same thing they saw on my face, because we had no clue to how or what was happening and why it was happening. But it was 2001, and the millennium scare was all behind us, and they didn't need all those people working there anymore, and so they just did like many companies were doing and just let us go. And that's how my day started. And I remember the other thing I distinctly remember was on the cab ride home that the cab driver asked, "So how's your day?" I was like, "Not very good at this very moment. I just got laid off. So I'm heading home now, and hopefully I can find some work." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I hope so." He goes, "I'm sorry about that." And then it was just an awkward car ride for a while. But I remembered I had this wonderful device, and it's not like the phone I have now, but it was old kind of phone that actually had buttons that you had to push and dial the number. You had to remember people's phone numbers. So I dial up a friend of mine who had been working with another company, and I call him, and I say, "Hey, man, I just got laid off." And he goes, "Like right now?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm on the cab ride home." And he goes, "Call Elaine," which is his sister. "They got an opening in her office, I think. Call her and see what she can do." The good news is it took me all of a 30-minute cab ride, which seemed like an eternity, that cab ride, because you go from this emotion of despair and concern and shock and to these emotions of, oh, it's not that bad, and really a feeling of relief, because, you know, I hadn't realized how sick of that place I was, of working for that company, I had gotten over the course of 4 years, but I had, and I was really done with being there. But what I needed was for them to lay me off. I didn't know that, but this was this crossroad time for me. This was a time where Kim and I were going to have to make some decisions about where we're going to live and what we're going to do and how we're going to put food on the table. And it was much like this time where Abram is given in our scripture this thought of God speaking to him and God saying, hey, pack up all your stuff, take what you can carry, grab your wife, take your nephew, and I'm going to show you to this new place. Here's the thing. 19 years ago, Kim and I had, well, Kim may have had more faith, but I'm going to tell you how big mine was. Mustard seed is much larger than what I had in God in that moment. We had just started looking for a church. We were going through that phase of pregnancy. Our first was coming. We were 5 months from, 5-6 months or so from Connor being born, our first oldest son. And she was going through this thing of, well, I got to get the house prepped and I got to get, you know, this done. And we got the nursery set up and we got the crib and we got the car seats and everything else. And now it was time to put our lives in order, kind of thing. This nesting process that we go through when we expect people to be joining our families, young ones anyway. And so we had visited a few churches and it wasn't known to us that this promise that God gave Abraham some 5,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, however long ago it was, or at least that it was documented some 3,000 years ago. How about that? We had no idea that that was in the scriptures. That's how little we attended church, how little we read the book, how little we understood what faith really meant. And I, like I said, a mustard seed would be a large, large amount of faith compared to what I had that day in that moment. And so I turned to what I knew, friends, family, coworkers, somebody, anybody I knew to get a job. And the wonderful thing is that God used those fine folks, those people in my life, to get me to an interview before I even got home that day. I was hanging up or getting out of the cab. The phone rings again. I answer it. It's Elaine. She calls me back. She goes, yeah, as soon as you get home, send me your resume. I'll give it to HR. They said they can get you in this week. We have an opening in the office. I talked to my team and they're excited to meet with you. I said, wow, well, this was no big deal. And it really wasn't for us. We got the job, or I got that job where I am now, some now 19 years later. And we've just kind of been growing and doing our thing. What we didn't understand then and is that it wasn't over with just me having to lose my job. Then Kim lost her job after Connor was born, about a year after he was born. She got laid off. And so now we have 3 mouths to feed and 1 income again. And this was now at a time where it was much harder to find work. 2002, the job market kind of drying up. A lot of people weren't getting hired right away again. Kind of slowed down. Like, more companies were laying off than were hiring at that time. And so Kim had a hard time finding another job. And so we made the decision, well, you know, if we don't find something by the time the unemployment checks quit coming, then we will, make preparations for you to be a stay-at-home mom. What a decision that was. We didn't really fully understand what that meant and the struggles we'd have with thinking, well, nobody could love our son like we love him, right? And that's true. Nobody could love our son, I promise, like we love him. But we were at that moment, again, another crossroad, another opportunity to kind of figure out where we're going and what God wants for us. At least at this time, we had started attending a church. We had started attending Mesquite and the First Methodist Church in Mesquite, First United Methodist Mesquite. And so we had a little bit of faith. I might have been up to a mustard seed by now. But we made the decision, and it was a tough one because, you know, we were going down to this one income, and now we're losing our crutch of unemployment, and we're going to have to make it work. We just bought a house, just bought two new cars, leased two new cars, I should say. Had plenty of credit card debt, student loan, all the things that go with trying to start a family and get out of school and do something in life. And we had all of it. A lot of baggage, a lot of things. And there we were. And as the second one happened, this time came, this second little crossroads in this early family life of the Spratleys, we I don't want to say we're actively listening to God, but at least we were trying to hear God. Right? In this scripture today, Abram is told by God, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." It wasn't that clear for us. It wasn't that crystal clear voice speaking to us in these moments at that time. But it was that voice. In fact, the second time when Kim decides to be a stay-at-home mom, that transition, at least we felt that that's where God was calling us. Before that, it was just, I got laid off and now I've got another job. Not understanding what the purpose of that was in my life and why. But if these things don't happen then I really can't say that I'd be here today, because my old job would never have afforded me the time of work-life balance time to be able to go to licensing school, to answer a call as a part-time local pastor in the United Methodist Church. It would have never been possible there. 60 hours a week, no way. And that was, no matter if you were there day one or day 20, year 20, it was everybody there worked 60 plus hours a week. That was just what you were expected to do. And so not seeing these things then is kind of what brings us here today. Like, not being able to see that is what I want to talk about today, because Abram not knowing where God is going to show him, right? What God is going to show him, only that God is promising him these things, these promises, these foundational promises that Abraham received from God in that moment in the scripture today is what allows him to say yes. And I read part B for our benefit, because I wanted us to realize it wasn't that Abram was a young man anymore, right? Abram was 25 years older than I am today, according to the scripture. And yet God calls him to a new path. God calls him to this crossroad moment and to say, for Abram to say yes or no, to answer effectively or negatively to the call that God has given him. And there's a couple ways this passage could go for us. There's this thought about faith and believing in what we cannot see, right? That's what Abram's teaching us or showing us. It's very common to our understanding of how faith is, that we believe in what we cannot see, the spiritual that we cannot see. And that's foundational to our faith, right? It's our understanding of our call on our life, that God's Spirit lives within us, and we understand when we see that Spirit moving in others and recognize it, then that's how we understand our faith to work. But 19 years ago, I didn't have that understanding, not even that basic rudimentary understanding of faith. What I understood was, we need to find a church because Kim says we need a church. That's where my faith was. And yet, that's not where it ended up either, though. That's the joy or the rejoicing piece of today, the news of today is God used those moments, those difficult times, and he still brought Kim and I to a place where we could kind of reconcile with ourselves even. And we found this church that could teach us and encourage us and help us grow into that faith, right? And to follow that journey where God was calling us up until like 2008, 12 years ago. When we answered our call to attend to Emmaus weekend, she went 1 week in the middle of summer, somewhere in there, end of summer, and I went in the fall. I only went because she came back and was like, in order to talk to this crazy person, I've got to figure out what they did to her, kind of thing. And I went on this weekend just to understand the faith that she was now expressing and showing and witnessing to, because I didn't have that, and I wanted it. So I go and I take my little weekend and I cried a lot on that weekend. I left a lot of things there. But that wasn't what the weekend was about. It was about helping me understand what God's call on my life was. Not just to pastoring or a local pastor, but that I am to be a disciple of Christ. And if I'm going to be that, then I need to be accountable to that. And that's what Abram is being given here, this choice to be accountable to God. He could say yes or no, and yet Abram chooses yes. 2008, we made that recommitment again to say yes to God in our lives. From that point on, we had this other opportunity for crossroads. Do you want to go and keep the career path going, David? Or now is there's another opportunity for you to maybe pastor a church? And that's a scary thought, because 19 years ago, if God was to tell me that God was going to use that opportunity to leave one company, go to another company, and then put me into a pulpit on a weekly basis to speak the message, to share my life with you, I would not have been able to. And I still find it hard to believe that God has done those things for me. God has put a message in my mind or my heart that is something that I feel needs to be shared. But this is what it is. This is 19 years later. 12 years from 2008, the call I accepted when I finally understood it was probably 7 years after that, just 5 years ago, 2015 time frame, where I went to licensing school and finished licensing school and became a licensed local pastor without an appointment, which is, you know, a step down from where I am today, all this loftiness that I've acquired. It's not even about that. But this is that first step, right? That first thought of what the passage means, our faith, and how do we get to where God is calling us to be. Here's another thing I want us to think about. None of this is possible. None of the transformation that I'm sharing with you is possible without the foundational thing I found at the very beginning, 19 years ago, in that little tiny piece of faith. It was that love that God had for us. When we found our church home in Mesquite, we found love. We found an infinite amount of love. We live in a world that's finite and limited. And we went into that church, and I hope people come into this church and they feel the same thing I felt. This infinite amount of love and acceptance and joy and rejoicing and all the things that I can't think of right now to say to you, I express to you. I know that is the kind of church that we want to be here. And that's what we've experienced, or we did there. And then as we came along and we've moved along, we started understanding that that's the kind of love we want to share, not just with each other, but with others. That love we receive, right? And that infinite amount. That the problem is I'm still human, and I mess that up, okay? Don't do it like I do. Do it like Jesus does, right? Did and does for us. Because I still mess it up as a human. And I try, but I receive that love from God, and I look at how I can just be the conduit, just let it flow in and out, like not be messed up by myself, just directing it to where it needs to be. And if I don't know, just opening up, right, and just letting it pour out everywhere. That's the goal, right, to get that out to everybody. The second thought I want us to think about with this passage is if we have God with us, right, that thought of God with us, then whom shall we fear, right? Or what shall we fear? And that answer should be no one and nothing. But I got to tell you, it's 19 years later, and I feel like I've grown so much along the way, but yet I am again at the crossroads. Again. The new company I have and I work for now 19 years and has allowed me this opportunity, wonderful opportunity to care for my family, to let my wife stay at home and care for our children and raise them. It's maybe coming to an end. And that's okay. That's okay. We're at the crossroads, like I said. It's a time where we are now faced with a decision as a family. And some of you I've shared this with, and I know my wife has shared with some of you as well, but this is the official notification to the church. We're at a time where we have to make a decision again about where God is calling us to serve, where God is calling us to be. That doesn't mean I'm leaving this year, next year, or anything, but right now I'm at that place where I need to decide. And I need to figure out what God is calling me to be, what God is calling us to be, and how do I support that? How do I support this church that we can be what God calls us to be? With that thought in mind, we may not know where we're going to be. We don't know the answer yet, right? It's not been revealed to us. We haven't been able to figure it out. But we're at that moment where we're at the precipice of what needs to be decided upon. Here's the difference between today and 19 years ago. 19 years ago, I didn't ask God. 19 years ago, I didn't think about asking God. Not only have we prayed about it several times, today we're listening, actively listening to hear God's voice. To hear God speak to us as he spoke to Abram. That's where we are. Now where we are as a family, as a church family, as a congregation, we too are at that crossroads. It's not about where I'm going to be working next month or next year. That's not it. We're at this crossroads now where we're having some people put forth some legislation. And I've talked about this and I've said something about it. But we need to understand we're at that point where what is to come is still left to be seen. We don't know what's going to happen in May. We can't see that. We can't see beyond the current argument or the current trial to understand what's going to happen in May. But it's going to happen. And when that does, then we're going to have to figure out what that means for us, right? That visioning we do and understand as a group of believers, we're going to have to figure out what that means for us and how do we apply it here today. Are we going to say yes to God or are we going to say no to God? I know we're going to say yes, right? Because that's what we do. We're faithful. We love God, God loves us, and we're faithful to that relationship. So we're going to say yes. What that yes means to us is what needs to be decided. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. We'll go to new places. We'll be at that point where God, on the other side of all this, where we're standing with God or God is with us and God is going to be showing us that land. Just like he did Abram. Just like he's going to do for Kim and I in our next journey, wherever that may take us. God's going to be there on the other side of those decisions and God's going to show us the land that God has for us, the new mission field. And we're going to figure out how do we reach the marginalized, the left behind, the left outs. We're going to figure all that out when we get on the other side of this. All this thought of moving from one place to the next reminded me of another children's story. Kim talked about the little caterpillar, the very hungry caterpillar. This one was from Dr. Seuss. It's "Oh, the Places You Will Go." And I'm going to read you a little piece of it to close out today's message. And I just want us to think about what it means for us, okay? It says, "You will get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kids, you'll move mountains." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.